We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
On the Crimson Tide Sports Network, from Learfield IMG College, this is the Captain's Corner. Here are your hosts, John Parker Wilson and Rashad Johnson.
It's week 7. It's the best week of the year.
We don't eat.
We don't sleep.
It's Tennessee hate week, baby.
Ooh.
That's it. It's Tennessee. It's Tennessee volunteer week. It's the third Saturday in October coming up. I'm John Parker. Today, as always, we have Rashad Johnson.
I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you here, but we got a special guest in studio.
He's hanging out for the whole show.
To be honest, I think you guys couldn't find someone else, so I was the backup plan.
No, you are man.
I will roll with it, though. It's my time to shine.
Coming live from the Bryant Denny Stadium studios here at the North End Zone, we got BJ Stabler in studio. Man, it's good to have you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
we got you.
I'm
sorry.
Like, hey, listen, this is my first time ever having an opportunity, you know, to shine this way. Being an offensive lineman, being able to protect you for such a long time, it's just, you know, I don't know how to feel about this. I was telling one of my friends the other day that, you know, all my entire life, I've always wanted to touch the football. Mm. Both you guys have had that opportunity, and here I am today. I feel like this is my time
to touch the football. Okay.
That's exactly right.
I love it.
I like that.
This is like a tackle pass, what Big Andre caught in the what
Independence Bowl.
Bowl.
It's like throwback screen to the tackle.
Yeah.
And BJ, how many we played together for 3 seasons, right?
Yeah.
So BJ was left guard.
Right guard.
Right guard.
Yeah.
Right guard. Left guard, they're the same, right?
Wow. Well, right foot back on one side and the left foot back on the other.
It's just that easy. I hope that all my former or current offensive linemen would be able to chime in on this. Just how easy it is, huh?
Well, you know, you could have been a center and had your ball in the hands every play like Antoine.
Having your hand,
We didn't go in shotgun as much as we used to now.
But man, yeah, great to have you in the show.
What are you? You're working for the university now. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, so I am the director of A Club Alumni. So we basically build a connection base for all former student athletes to be able to have a connection back to the university. And so, you know, I'm definitely excited to be back to the university, back to the Capstone. Where the place where everything was kind of given to me, an opportunity, and now I have an opportunity to make something and have to grow this university to a certain extent, at an ability where all the rest of the former student athletes will be able to have an opportunity to stay connected. I guess that's the base layman terms of putting it. But
I love that. Tell you what we're excited about: US Wellness Meats.
Yeah,
this Captain's Corner podcast is always brought to you by U.S. Wellness Meats. Our animals eat right, so you can too. Check them out at uswellnessmeats.com. And don't forget to use the promo code BAMA to save 15% on your order. Promo code BAMA.
Yeah.
Everybody loves saving money. And you're eating good all at the same time. It's a win-win.
They're great too. The salmon patties, had them for breakfast.
Ooh, was yes. some little eggs in there?
Yeah, wild caught salmon.
That's
man.
What I'm talking about.
It was pretty amazing.
Well, I thought we said we will make an exception. We said we don't eat, we don't sleep. It's Vol week.
Yeah, I mean that was last week.
We'll make it. Okay, last week.
Yeah. Come on, man. Like, what are you trying to do here?
So this is a pretty cool week.
We're on the same team.
This is a cool week. We'll talk about the volunteer week. Let's recap. Let's talk about the A&M Aggies. Before we get going, because there's not only A&M, but a lot happened this week in college football. There were some upsets. There were some teams that played really good in primetime football. But I tell you what, 2:30 kickoff in College Station. First off,
yeah,
love the place.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was rocking down there on the field, man.
First time I've ever been there. First time you've ever been
Same
there.
Same as well.
Did you go, BJ?
Did not have.
You got to go next year. We play them. It is. It's awesome. Yeah. It's such a fun atmosphere, especially when you win. But a lot of traditions.
A lot of tradition, man. I mean, they had the cheers down pat, the freaking cannon that went off almost gave me a heart attack.
God,
man. You know, because I wasn't expecting it to go off that early in the game anyway. You
right.
know, not in the first quarter, the first drive of the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, even on top of that, yeah, it skipped the beat a little bit for sure.
Right. It was loud.
Yeah.
And when you get in the press box, they have a memo sitting on your desk that said, it's okay. The stands are going to sway. It's going to feel like you're in an earthquake. Just be ready for it because it's going to rock and roll. Don't panic. We've checked it out. We've got engineers here. It's all good. But, man.
So the Richter scale, give it to us.
I'm telling you. Wait,
what was it?
I remember I was talking, and they tried to warn me, but all of a sudden, it's like I'd never been in an earthquake. And
it was tremor right there.
Crazy.
I know. It scared me. I mean, about to take off running.
It was like you're moving, and it's hard to describe because all of a sudden, the building's rocking, and it felt really weird because you can't. There's nothing you can do about it.
I feel like you were swag surfing just then a little bit.
A little bit, trying
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Trying
yeah,
to.
Yeah, got my swag.
I've got so much.
Yes, yes.
But you talked about that first drive.
Man, it was tough. I mean, 15 plays.
75 yards.
75 yards. And even after a penalty, like, they scored two touchdowns on the first drive.
Right.
Mm. Like, you know, and that was, you know, very, very, you know, just tough to start a game as a defense. Sometimes that can take, you know, a hard blow to respond. But I think, you know, our guys rallied on the sideline really well. You know, understanding that Terrell Lewis was a guy that came and called the guys together and began to, you know, speak life back into the team and setting a tone. And, man, what type of game did he have after that first drive?
Did he really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I read an article about it. I didn't see it personally myself. And I guess as a sideline reporter, I should have saw that. But I was kind of watching
You were
offense.
Watching the fans?
Yeah,
okay, it's okay.
The fans were kind of interesting too, man. I was,
yeah.
I'm telling you, it was just they were rocking. I was dizzy. I got caught in the whole swag surf, you know, frenzy as well, man.
It happens.
It was a great environment.
It happens.
I can't lie. But I read the article, so, you
so
know.
So he was down there coaching up on the sidelines.
Right after the drive, they said he was kind of the guy that collectively got the guys together. And, I mean, you go back and you look at the defensive game he had, you know, three tackles, two sacks, two quarterback hurries. I mean, the kid was in the backfield raising havoc after that series.
Well, and after series, that was really important because Kellen Martin started out 5 for 5. 39 yards passing, but they were really running the ball. They were throwing the ball. And Kellen Mond was a guy that I was scared if he came out and got hot, that he could really change the outcome of the game.
Right.
But after that first drive, he was very inconsistent. We got back there, and like you said, you get two sacks from Terrell Lewis. You start thinking, you know, you're going to get hit every play.
Right.
And really changed it after that first drive because as an offense, there's nothing better than just marching down the field, very methodical about scoring a touchdown against Alabama.
Right.
And that's, you know, something that doesn't happen a lot.
Not at all. And, I mean, what I like about, you know, the hits on the quarterback and the things that happen in terms of our sacks and quarterback hits, a lot of times it was four down. I mean, like you saw Terrell Lewis, he just won his matchup, you know, two times in a row. Christian Barmore, the same thing. I mean, he was getting to the backfield and getting hits on the quarterback. Anthony Jennings, one-on-one matchups. I mean, it wasn't like we were having to bring pressure. We were able to
yep.
drop guys, knowing that Kellen Mond is a guy that struggles with accuracy. So you sit back in the zones and force him to throw the balls into the holes, and he can't make those throws. And when we were in man-to-man, you know, Patrick Surtain ended up with two pass breakups. Trayvon Diggs was two pass breakups himself. So, I mean, we were doing a good job on the outside playing those passes.
I honestly think it was our best game defensively.
Yeah.
Even after the first drive, we had some early missed tackles, but they really settled in. Trayvon is playing really good the whole season.
Yeah.
I think Shaheem Carter had his best game. Terrell Lewis had his best game.
Yeah.
Shane Lee came out and had eight tackles, I think it was.
Yeah, he did. And
Barmore.
Barmore came out of nowhere just as a motor guy that we can put in passing situations now that we know that he can wreak havoc up in the middle. Because when you got a guy, what makes that so special now is that when you got a guy in the middle of the defense, and you would understand this as an offensive lineman, you know, when you got a guy in the middle of the defense as a nose tackle like a Geno Atkins that can pass rush, and now you're forced with that center to now have to give him help with those guards, and now it's forcing those tackles to have to block a guy like Terrell Lewis and Anthony Jennings one-on-one now, and they were able to make the plays they're able to make now when you have a guy like Christian Barmore wreaking havoc in the middle like that. And I mean, you can speak to that as a guard.
Well, basically, you got to count for all – at that point, you count for all five guys. It's almost like a bare defense. And so when you either got four down or you got five down, and when guys are just all in there bunched together, it makes it difficult to decide who's going to be who, who's the middle linebacker. Because typically, you're going to base your slide or whatever call that you're going to make based off of that Mike linebacker. So if he's over to the right, if he's over to the left, and if you can't really hear that, that makes it that much more difficult. But in this situation, you just everybody slide. That's the most damaging thing that you can do at that point.
Yeah. I mean, Barmore's playing good. Anthony Jennings had eight tackles too. He had a sack. I don't know if it was his best game because he's played a lot of good games. We got a lot of guys contributing.
I was going to say the same thing. I mean, because we haven't even mentioned the guy that's been the alpha the entire year, you know, X Factor. And he was flying around all over the field as well. That was mine. He was flying all over the field as well. But he was able to get a couple pass breakups that, you know, probably wish they would have been interceptions and things of that nature. But he had a big day, you know, six total tackles, a pass breakup, and I think two dropped interceptions. I hate to call it out, but I mean, that just lets you know he was around the ball, recovered a fumble as well, so he was still around the ball.
And on the play, we drew up for the cut-ups that you could check out on our Twitter page, Instagram, Facebook.
Yes.
Check it out. We break down a play. He came up in the double mug A-gap, and then even almost got the sack.
Yeah.
He took a center one-on-one, pulled him down, and then got upfield. And, I mean, I love the guy.
I mean, he's skillful, man. He's got, like you say, he's got a ton of talent. He can play the middle of the field, or he can play linebacker, walked up, blitzing the gap, or we can put him in coverage in man-to-man versus a slot receiver or a tight end. I mean, he's got a lot of characteristics. And, like you said, we have a lot of guys contributing, and especially last week that contributed to that victory for sure.
Well, and you know, defense, I think, I don't want to say it's been a question mark, but it's been one of the biggest areas of talked about concern this year. And when you get a really, I think, deep receiving core like Texas A&M did,
right,
they got some playmakers and does shut them down for the most part all day long. Sure, they scored 28 points. One of them was late the first drive, but overall, I don't think there's any question it was our best game.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, man. Like you said, the first drive of the game, you know, another score late and a sprinkle in the middle there. You know, even though, like you said, we gave up, you know, quite a bit of yards, 389 yards, you know, we were still able, you know, to get off the field. They were, you know, only 5 or 12, so they were less than 50%, you know, on third down, you know, and then things of that nature. We're able to get to the quarterback and sack him, you know, five times. You know, I mean, that is a huge, huge emphasis. 5 sacks and then, you know, 2 fumbles that they lost one of those. So we're able to win the turnover battle. And like we said, every week, if you win the turnover battle, you usually win the game.
No question.
Yeah. I also want to kind of bring out a point. Just looking at the time, like, what is the time of possession? Where do I find it on here?
It was 30 minutes Alabama and 29 Texas A&M.
So I think those are going to be kind of some main contributors into as we go deeper into the season, like how you look at the time of possession. Because naturally, spread offenses are going to be – like the offense we have, we score quick. And for us to have that ability – to say we're 30 minutes and they're 29 minutes, that shows the fact that we are growing into becoming a whole lot more balanced than we have been in the past.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be one of a huge factor into showing whether we slow down the clock so that, you know, the team, the offense, even looking forward into it, that they really don't have the ball in their hands. And so I think that's something we might want to kind of look into and just make sure we're taking notes on that. That time of possession is going to be huge for us.
Yeah, and we talked about the defense, but the other thing on the offensive side of the ball would be, hey, can we run it? And right. I think that's been more from a fan's perspective of just the tradition of Alabama offenses of running the football.
Yeah.
And I'm perfectly fine with throwing it like we have been.
Yeah.
But Najee comes out this game, 20 carries, 114 yards. Mm. He had that long one, I think it was in the third quarter for 25 yards.
Yeah.
But we dialed up some line them up and run the ball. No run pass options, no checks off of it, but we're just going to run the ball. And for the most part, those guys up front did really good.
Yeah, they did a great job. And, you know, one of the guys was, you know, I remember Landon Dickerson. I mean, he's pulling from the center position. Yeah. There was a couple of times we ran that where you see him snap the ball and still get out in front of the running back and make some great blocks on the perimeter, you know, to spring some of these big runs that we saw from Najee Harris and B-Rob average, you know, 5 yards a carry as well. But like you said, total rushing. And to speak on BJ's point, you know, I felt like this was the most balanced game that we had all year. 293 yards passing and 155 yards rushing. You know, it's normally been Tua's been throwing over 400, over 350, you know, having big numbers. He still was able to score a touchdown in the passing game. But we're, like he said, we're able to balance this thing out a little bit in the running game.
Well, 34 pass attempts from Tua. Tua finished 21 of 34 for 293 yards. But we had 31 rush attempts for 155 yards.
Right.
So
yeah,
the play calling by Sarkisian is starting to equal out, and that makes it really tough on defenses when you don't know, okay, we got two guys in the backfield, motions out, we got different personnel packages we're running. We're able to do run and pass now from all of our personnel packages.
And I'm going to tell you who else it helps a lot, and we just talked about this. We felt like it was our best defensive game yet. Mm-hmm. When you're balanced like this on offense and you're controlling the clock, you're giving your defense now time to rest on the sideline, and not only rest, make adjustments.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they see what happens to them. That first drive was 15 plays. They drove it down. I'm not exactly sure what our first drive was, but it wasn't a 3 or 4 play drive like it typically had been. So our guys were able to take some time to adjust and make the adjustments they needed in that time.
Well, to what you just pointed out, that A&M gets the ball first and goes 15 plays, 75 yards, took 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what you want to do is be able to come over and say, here's what happened.
Right.
From Pete Golding, the defense coordinator, here's what we need to do differently.
Exactly.
Tua gets the ball, 10 plays, 73 yards, 4 minutes and 16 seconds.
Right.
That was the touchdown pass to Jaylen Waddle to make it 7-7, but we gave the guys, including the time, the TV timeouts,
timeouts
and everything,
right.
We got a lot of time to go over and say, hey, here's what we saw on film. Here's what we didn't see on film. We can make some adjustments. And then they did. They came back out and forced a punt on the next drive.
Exactly. To Jaylen Waddle, good luck.
Yeah.
This guy, man. I mean, he averaged 25 yards almost a return.
Wow.
This past weekend.
I can't believe they still
kicking to him.
Yeah. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, who's in charge?
Kick it out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable.
I think one of the things we also kind of keep in perspective with what Texas A&M did on that first drive. You know, typically what you're working off of is that is the, you know, the scripted plays.
Sure.
So that was like before people get all haywire on that first drive.
We'll talk about the scripted plays.
Okay.
Yeah.
So typically each coach, offensive coach especially, they're going to have scripted plays that they've seen that are absolutely going to work in any game going into that first drive. And so all coaches I've ever seen will stay up all night long working on these first 15 because – to some extent, it plays a psychological factor on the team to be able to say, hey, we're coming here to play. But it's almost like, you know, what do you do once you get punched in the mouth? And so
right. That's
what the opposing team are going to do is put, you know, try to punch you in the mouth from the very beginning. When we look at the game as a fan now, myself, I look at it as if, okay, what can we do for the longevity of the game? These coaches have come in scripted plays that are to work to perfection. And once that perfection is over, after that first drive, because that's what Texas A&M did. They put everything they had in that first 15, the first 15 is what they call the scripted plays. Those first 15 plays, and then after that, you have to play ball and then being able to strategize after that.
Right.
So that's where the strategy comes into play.
Yeah, it definitely comes into play. And then, you know, defensively, how you combat the scripted plays from an offense is you just have to be technique sound. Mm-hmm. That means you play with good eyes. You understand what the call is. You understand what your gap is and what your role is on that specific play. And you do just that. Mm-hmm. You don't allow the window dressing of what the offense is trying to do in those 15 plays to exploit your defense. Kind of like what Texas A&M did. If you go back on the first drive, it was a lot of formation into the boundary.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were moving that receiver back to the field, whether it was pre-snap or whether it was post-snap within the motion. And from there, it's causing a lot of movement in the defense. Their eyes have to change. Your responsibilities have to change. And if you're not, you know, all synced on the same page, you find gaps where they were able to get a couple creases in the run and make a couple plays on the perimeter. So that's how you combat that. And I think, you know, we were able to get on the sideline and Pete Golden say, hey, look, get back to the fundamentals, guys.
Yeah.
We know exactly what they're doing. This is what they're doing. It's not that big of a deal. Don't let the energy of this building and the electricity of what's going on here get your eyes and your fundamentals out of whack. Go back to what we came.
And they did a really good job because offensively, we've got the advantage of the first 15 plays are that because you can run them over and over and over during the week, and you're really good at what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. So defensive, to combat that, you just got to be sound.
Yeah.
Because the last thing we do before we get on the bus to go to the stadium is run those 15 plays again.
Yeah.
And you know them in and out on offense and defense. You know, you have to react and just be sound and go through your cues.
Yeah, I know, man. So what was like one of your favorite plays in your top 15 that you ever did in a game? Can you think of one right now?
No, because it was more like here, you know, you take the game plan.
Yeah, it all depends on your opponent.
It all depends on your opponent and what we're trying to do, but you liked him as a quarterback because everybody knew exactly, like, whether it was a hot
can
or
you,
it was a
can
choice.
You remember a specific game that, like, that first 15, like, they just ripped off and we were able to drive down and score? It was just a great memory.
Probably against Tennessee, one of the games.
Oh, there we go.
Senior
2009?
Year.
2009? No, actually, it was 2008.
We were gone, guys.
No, it was 2007.
Yeah, we graduated in 08, BJ.
That's what happened with old age, bro. You forget everything.
I'm like,
what time is it?
So we lost in 06. We beat them in 07 here. We had a good game then.
That was
to Tennessee. Yeah.
In Tennessee?
No.
No, that was here, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually, I don't know if you remember this, that was probably my last game actually playing, my last full game. I was not supposed to play. So at this point in time, when I dialed back to that game, that was in the textbook situation. We won't go too deep into that. But at that point in time, I've had my fourth knee surgery while playing this game. And, you know, it was one of those things where I knew that this was probably going to be my last year playing football, right? Mm. And I just knew that the thing that I love about this game is you don't have to try to grab at so much. Once you begin to accept your role and your position on the team, and that's what I did, I became a backup. I went from a redshirt starter here at the University of Alabama as a lineman. Then I became a backup. It's hard to kind of make that adjustment. And so when I became that backup, I just did not know when my time was going to come. And so we played Tennessee here that game, that Friday night. That's when everything went up in the air. Guys who were supposed to be the starters weren't the starters. So if you guys can understand and put it in context to your fans, we had prepared all week long for these people to be starting this game. Then all of a sudden, Friday night, right before the game, guys who were not supposed to be starting actually started that game. So that was one, including me, and we put up, 500 yards on Tennessee
scorched
that game?
Yep.
I'm talking about, man, I'll never forget an interview that I did at the end of that game, and someone said, it's like, you never were supposed to even play this game, and here you are starting. How did you overcome it or something like that? And I said, you know, sometimes life just gives you oranges. And I was like, what do you do with that? You make orange juice.
so you were Beyonce before Beyonce with the lemon make lemonade.
No, I didn't.
This is what you're trying to tell us.
I am on no way. Beehive, do not come for me. Beehive, do not come for me. I am not. Rashad said that. I did not put myself on Beyonce's level.
Okay, you're right.
Okay,
I was just trying to make a comparison there so we can wrap all the fans into what we're talking about.
No, they will come for me. I don't want that.
But how about this? Just real question here. I mean, I love what you talked about, just being a backup, and not only that, but like the way your career started and then the injuries and things you went to. I'm sorry, we're gonna go to a little bit more interviewing BJ here. And you went through some injuries and you didn't get a chance to, I guess, as a redshirt freshman, you probably think I'm gonna go to the NFL, play in the NFL more than likely.
Sure.
But you didn't get opportunity to do that. What kept you and what allowed you to continue to push forward and build the career that you built? Cause, I mean, you went on to have a 8-year career as player engagement at the Kansas City Chiefs at the professional level and then now back here in the A Club. I mean, talk to that, to the players and former guys who, you know, who go through injuries and don't get to where they think they were gonna go in life, but still can be successful in other areas.
Man, to be honest with you, and thank you for asking that, you know, to be honest with you, you just don't want, there's a lot that I don't know in regards to my future at that point in time, and I put myself in that position. And so you try to control and hold on to so much. But when you're in that situation of injury, and you know, thankful that being in that space, that my injury allowed me to begin to change the direction of my career path. Mm-hmm. Not too many people have that opportunity. Like, some people will step into that role where they're playing football, and all of a sudden the game is over for them immediately.
Yeah.
Like, I had to take time to emotionally get over it and all that stuff. But one thing I knew for a fact was I know what was back in my hometown for me.
Yeah.
And my question was, do I want that, and do I want to accept that? Or did I ever feel like there was so much more out there for me? Now, not to just throw it out there to say it became easy after that. There was so much obstacles I had to overcome in regards to, you know, you come out of this thing thinking you're going to get a six-figure job immediately, and that's just not the case. It's more so adjusting the mentality and then moving into, okay, I volunteered here. Then I went on and basically volunteered at Georgia State University, and that's when my real break came in at the Kansas City Chiefs. And even then, let's not get it confused, you still are not walking into a six-figure job or attaining what you're hopefully attaining. It's just continuously, you know, what this university, what this football program has been able to instill into me is, you know, such of a mentality that, you know, I would never give up on something that even when the obstacles gotten bad, they weren't as difficult or, you know, as pressured focus as they were here. Mm-hmm. Like, you just continue to focus on the task at hand. Like Coach Saban used to always say, don't look up at the clock, guys. Don't look up at the scoreboard.
Yeah.
It's the game is still not over.
Yeah, life and is even, still left to be lived.
Right. And even at this point of time, here I am, you know, in a whole lot better place. I don't want to sit up here and look up at the clock and say, okay, here it is. Here I am. I've arrived. No, I still haven't arrived. I am 33 years old. I still have a long life to live, and there's a lot that can happen in between that time. But I give my gratitude and my appreciation to this university and to this program and what they've actually built. And I can tell the people and the guys that are actually, whoever that will listen to this, that if you just buy in and accept and understand that it's not going to all go your way, but just believe in the fact that you are here for a reason and in this position for a reason and playing this game for a reason, that it's going to work out at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Love that.
Thank you.
Good stuff,
thanks,
dude.
I didn't know.
Appreciate awesome. It.
Yeah, and we worked your butt off the whole time, and you just kept your head down and done the right thing. And I think that's what Coach Saban always talked about is, doesn't matter what the scoreboard is, you just got to do the right thing. Have your process.
Right.
Stick to it. And if it's not working, you got to be able to tweak it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Coach Saban does that better than anybody of saying, we can make mid-course corrections.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not always going to be the same. It's not always going to be perfect. And you just got to change your mindset and still do things the right way.
Yeah, I totally understand that completely, man. Right. Speaking of a team that's probably going to have to tweak it a little bit, this upset, man, in SEC. What do you think?
Did you talk about the Georgia Bulldogs?
Gonna be tough. That was a tough one, man.
Tough day for Georgia. You know, and it goes to show you, look, I knew South Carolina. We talked about how much we thought South Carolina was a good team. Even though when we played them, they had lost to UNC and should have won that game. They had a true freshman quarterback coming in. They got really good players.
They do.
Muschamp came from Coach Saban, doing things the right way. And they went on the road and beat Georgia kind of at their own game.
Yeah.
Georgia missing two field goals. Jake Fromm not having a very good day, throwing a lot of interceptions, pick six right before half. It goes to show you, if you don't come out, even for that 11 o'clock game every week, you can get beat. Doesn't matter if you're the number 3 or 4 team in the country like Georgia was.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, any week, any team, any conference, you know, we speak, you know, in the SEC as dominant as it is, but any conference, any team that you play, if you don't come out to play, you know, you can lose that game. And, man, what a way to lose it at home, you know, with a sure-footed kicker. And, man, to miss a couple like that, I mean, that was tough, you know. But should this kid have bounced back in a major way?
Yeah. It's just, you look at those type of games, and you think about the old SEC of the past and how SEC was never granted the opportunity to win a national championship back in the day because what was the excuse? Well, not even an excuse, but it was the truth that, you know, we can never make it to the national championship because we're always beating up on each other. And this is where it is. This is what's going on. So it's the margin, a line of, what is it, any given Sunday?
Yeah.
The margin of error is so small, and this is what's going on. Like, you can't make errors no matter what value you place on your opponent.
Well, you can't turn the ball over. Jake Fromm, three interceptions. Helinski and Joyner, who came in from him. So Helinski went out, and then Joyner came in and did a really good job. Zero interceptions.
Right.
You lose three opportunities to score.
Yeah.
You end up getting beat 20-17 like Georgia did.
Yeah.
And, you know, they gave themselves a chance, and South Carolina should have won it earlier before then.
Yeah.
But, you know, that mindset sets in like, this ain't our day.
Right.
When Georgia had the guys to go out and win, should have, you know, on paper should have won it, but it just goes to show you how important during a game is the momentum.
Yeah.
South Carolina took it, and they ended up finishing it.
Yeah, and more importantly, you know, being where your feet are. I mean, they're in South Carolina that week. I mean, at home playing South Carolina, but I guarantee you they're thinking about Auburn.
No doubt.
They're thinking about Florida. You know, they're already 2 weeks ahead. You know, that's the importance of this game and importance of, you know, just life in general. Like, be where your feet are. You can't control tomorrow. I can't do anything about my next opponent. I think that probably played a part in, you know, some of the players' head. And Jake Fromm probably having the day that he had. Was he thinking about that Florida defense or that Auburn front seven? You know, and are we going to be able to make this push again? You know, that's why you got to do it a week at a time. That's why it's such a tough game, man, and that's what I love about this game of football. I mean, you have to really take it a day at a time and work that day and then move on to the next one and then play that day and move on to the next one. Like, you can't get too far ahead.
You can't. I mean, Jake Fromm ends up 28-51, 54%. Man. I mean, this is a guy he's one of the top-rating passers in the country.
51 times, though?
Right. I mean, can't run the ball. They rushed for 173 yards.
Right, but keep running it. 173, I'd have rushed for 273 if you're going to let me rush for 173.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Moment. I mean, it's crazy. It's really, and that's why each Saturday is so fun and unique, because every game is different from the past. And then, you know, even the coordinators bad habit.
Right. Yeah, true. I mean, so true.
You tell you who's not in a bad habit?
Yeah.
Them boys down to Baton Rouge.
Whoo, man, Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow's getting done.
Yeah, I mean, efficient.
He is. I mean, come along and, you know, LSU's always had the good defense. They've always had a good running game. It's like, oh, man, if they can just find a quarterback, this team's going to be hell to deal with. And then they go put up 42 against Florida this past week.
Over 500 yards against a really good Florida defense.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you what.
Florida played very good in that game. I thought it was good. That game could have gone one way or the other.
Yeah. LSU just outlasted them. Yeah. But my man Joe Burrow, 21 of 24, 293 yards. Three touchdowns, zero interceptions. If you keep in score at home, that's 87% passing.
Wow.
Against number seven team in the country.
Yeah, I mean, even more impressive, or just, I guess, say equally to more impressive, is that they rushed for 218 yards on 24 attempts. 9.1 yards a carry. I mean, we talked, like you said, the number seven team in the country. Mm-hmm. We talked about how great their defense, their front seven was. That one of the best secondaries on the back end. And, I mean, they literally had their way. I mean, you know, 7 points, 14 points in the second quarter, 14 points in the third quarter. I mean, they really got rolling.
Okay, so if you're Alabama, and we're not jumping ahead, but say we're game planning for LSU this week. How do you slow down a team that can throw it and run it like them? You just got to play man-to-man outside and hope your guys can lock them down?
I think, you know, this guy, Joe Burrow, he's shown that he knows coverages. He can read the defenses. And as much as you want to disguise and give him different looks, you have to do that. You have to show him single high and play some cover two behind it. Show him single high, play some quarters behind it. You know, show single high and bring a fire zone. You know, I think you got it. You got to switch it up. You can't let him get in the rhythm and understand and see the defense before it happens. It's got to be after the snap, tight rotation and tight movement, which is huge for us and as a defense to play these guys. And ultimately, you got to win up front. I think when you're playing a team that's disbalanced and played as well as they did, 293 yards in the air, 218 yards passing, 511 yards total, you got to make them one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. And the way that you can do that is by winning up front. So mm-hmm. our front four guys got to come in with a mentality that we're stopping the run. Our front seven, our linebackers, no run this game. And then from there, they're one-dimensional. Our offense has a chance to score points, which would be our biggest weapon, and extend the lead. Now you force them one-dimensional, that passing the ball every down. You can definitely get in a little bit more of a rhythm and dictate how you win that game. So up front first, disguising on the back end once we get them in the rhythm of having to pass
the
ball.
And I feel like our DBs are playing so good right now. Diggs, Surtain, Xavier McKinney can do it all.
Yeah.
Shaheem Carter coming in, two or three pass pickups his past game. Jordan Battle making a lot of plays.
Man.
We're very deep out on defensive back, and they get to go against the best receiving corps in the country every single day in practice.
Man, every single day. And I like, you know what else is deep? This U.S. Wellness Meats. It's 400 flavor packed all natural foods that you can get from. That's 400 different types of food that you can get from U.S. Wellness Meats. And you got to go to the site. I'm telling you, like, we have the lamb. I haven't tried the lamb, but I do have the chicken sausage that I eat in the morning. It is farm raised, pasture raised, you know, omega-3s, all the healthy stuff that you need to do. It's got me doing yoga, Zen in the morning now. Like, I'm telling you, I'm getting back to my old self, man. And it's all because of U.S. Wellness Meats.
I feel you. My dad is a big, he's like Bobby Flay when he gets on that grill.
Okay,
can throw it down.
Yeah.
So he ordered a past week because we'll go over to his house. The whole family will throw down the grill. We're doing it at our household too. So check it out. And I like their tag. Are you on a mission for prime nutrition? So good. Check them out. Bama. And the promo code for 15% off. Type it in. Ships right to your door. It's so easy. It's so good. It's as good as they get. So uswellnessmeats.com, promo code BAMA for 15% off.
I need to try this U.S. Wellness Meat, y'all.
I got some at the house, man. Y'all been talking about it for a while.
Yeah,
we'll take it and unthaw it, throw it on the grill.
I'm down with that.
And get after
it,
man.
I like that. You know, I'm on my health kick now. So.
Are you?
Yeah.
You look good, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you, man. I try to.
You look slim down. You've been working out. Rashad, you know, I've been telling Rashad he's got to get back in this workout.
Rashad's got it.
He's let himself go a little bit.
I have, man. A little bit of this gut here, man. I'm trying to see if I'm over the table like this.
That's love, man. That's what that is.
It is.
That's love.
I'm really preaching to myself.
That's love.
You see me, baby? Oh, man. But
go back to the fact that y'all was talking about this, the trenches, the LSU, man. Like, these guys got four returning starters, though. Like, their offensive line is...
Mm-hmm.
They're serious.
Yeah.
And I think what we were discussing earlier is the return of the continuity between Alabama offensive linemen. And, you know, one of the things that I remember Coach Pinder used to say, like, I don't care who you are, man. I don't care where you're from, what you look like. I'm going to play my best five guys. And I think, and when you look at it, that sounds just like him. Just him. So when you boil down to it, what you want and what you're going to do is focus on who are the best five guys. And if LSU has found that early in the game to be able to find what their best five guys actually look like, we are getting to that point.
Yeah.
And I hope so. And when we look at it, like, we'll be at that point when we'll find out who our best five
guys are. I think we got six good guys.
Yeah, I was going to say the same.
Landon Dickerson was able to come in this week with Chris Owen being out, played the center, played really good, didn't have one single bad snap the whole game.
Yeah.
Evan Neal is just a beast at left guard. Then you bring Deontay Brown, who can play really everything. So we really got four guys that can play the three positions in the middle. Obviously, the two guys on the outsides are really good.
Right.
Jedrick Wills, I thought, had a really good game, too. He's playing a little ticked off, which I like.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, he's getting after it. I know he got that personal foul at the end of the game, but, you know, he's getting a little attitude.
Yeah, he is.
Playing with the edge, playing with aggressive.
There's nothing wrong with
that. I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to be – you don't want to get a penalty.
Of course.
But I like my offensive lineman who's borderline trying to rip somebody's face off when he goes out there and plays.
Right. Yeah.
You that type of guy, BJ, or, you know, are you as soft as you are here today?
You know, I just try to be, you know, as cordial and corporate as you can possibly.
Now he is.
Back in the day, I want BJ's the BJ, like, that was 61, Clark County.
Listen, my mentality when I played was this. Like,
yeah, let's talk about
that. I didn't talk trash. I didn't talk a bad game or anything like that. I know, like, there was people that would talk at you, but what I always heard back from defensive linemen was this. Like, the ones that they actually were afraid of are the ones that said nothing.
No.
They block them, go back to the huddle, just smile at them. That was my whole entire mentality, the way I played again. Now, in between those lines and the whistle, It gets nasty.
Old school, huh?
Oh, yeah,
I
love it.
Let the past do the talking.
I love it.
Different,
love
just
it.
Flip a switch. Oh, Gentle yeah. Giant now.
Switch, yeah. Switch.
But before, go out there, when you put that helmet on and those head chin straps go click, it's time to go.
Yeah, you gotta play with some passion, man. That's what I love.
Hey, it's passion this week, full of passion.
No doubt.
Tennessee. Yeah. And Tennessee's, it's. I love talking about it every year because we get to play them every year. And it's more of that just don't like each other. You know, Auburn is in state. They're like our brothers.
Yeah.
You know, we go to work with them. We got coworkers. You got family. Some of family are Auburn members. I don't have any Auburn family members, but some people do.
Married in.
But Tennessee is like, no, we don't like it. My favorite clip, and I'm gonna retweet it, is it was the guy when we were playing.
Oh, yeah.
Who
yeah.
was out by the Ferguson Center talking about me, and they low down, they dirty. We don't like them.
That ugly orange, that puke orange.
The inside the pumpkin orange.
Yeah,
that's it. And I think that perfectly kind of embodies the Alabama fan base of, we just don't like
it. We hate you. Yeah.
You know, like, the history of this is to a certain extent, we point back to Tennessee on like how we went through a rough patch historically at the University of Alabama. Again, not to get too deep into it, but the story is because of Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like, they have been the culprit behind like wanting us to fall. And the truth be told, like, let's put this game into complete context.
Yeah.
If we think about that 2009 national championship game, that game was absolutely close.
No doubt.
That game was great. And they were not that good that year, right?
No.
Am I wrong? So that game was very, very close. So for the fans that are out there listening, thinking this is a walk in the park, we cannot look at it that way.
Not at all.
Well, we are going for our 13th straight win, though, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And they're coming off their first SEC win last week.
And they do have our old guy, Jeremy Pruitt, who knows everything about this program.
For sure. Everything in terms of the calls, how they run the defenses,
weaknesses of the defense.
Right, he's going to watch the film from last week from Jimbo and see some things there and things like that. So it definitely is going to, you know, I think the emotions of the game are going to come out early on.
Night game.
We're going to be under the lights.
Ooh, new lights. I'm excited to see the new LED lights.
I can't wait, man. Can't wait.
So, but are you going to have a cigar ready to go?
Oh, yeah. Light them up.
Are you providing?
No, Rashad is, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
You are?
Come on, man.
Okay, I'm down.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Everybody, show up.
You providing for everybody?
Let's do it.
Yeah. You getting Ethan one?
Of course.
Ethan.
The engineer.
On the ones and twos over here?
Yeah, DJ.
You should provide Ethan. John Parker's address so everybody can show up at his house.
Sounds like a great idea, DJ.
The only thing is I don't have his address.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm trying to get him. Like,
I've invited him. I can't make him come. Yeah.
That sounds bad, man.
Y'all are always welcome.
Thank you. I might just show up there.
Come on.
No Tennessee fans.
I wonder if they still, the opposing fans still get quarterback's phone number.
They do. So that's an LSU tradition. They did it this year against Sam Ellinger.
Okay.
Okay.
He didn't get I guess I'm the only one that's gotten the 15-yard penalty for
I know, right?
Yeah, you did.
You did. We knew we were going to get that.
But, I mean, I'm the only one that got the penalty.
Does Tennessee do it, too?
Come on, JP.
No, they don't do it.
Okay.
I mean, it didn't work.
You can't act off emotions, man.
I know. Devontae, we didn't talk about Devontae having to sit out the first half of this game.
Yeah, man.
Emotions.
It was always a tough situation,
I know,
too.
But it's always the second guy.
Yeah, and I was watching it from the sideline like, no. You can see it.
So, you know, there is at the end of the game, A&M knew they were out of it. And that's when you know, as a guy that's winning the game, you're like, they're coming after me. They're going to try to get cheap
shots. Whatever they can do.
And their hand jostling would be a nice way to put it. And Deontay just kind of gets him one off the chin.
Guy slings him down first and then kind of throws a slight jab himself.
Right.
And then he hits him with a full one on the way back. So. Right. But
you know,
you can't respond.
You can't. And I was always under the pressure. It's not a good idea to hit somebody in the face mask.
No, not
I mean,
at
that,
all.
That face mask is hard.
You're right.
I mean, it's not forgiving.
Right. At all.
I need Devontae's hands just perfect.
Yes.
Like they have been.
They have been great.
Man, okay. I know we're running up on time, but
I have nowhere to be.
Two things I want to talk about. A, one of the things that I noticed back in the A&M game that I don't know if y'all noticed, and I don't even know if we've talked about it. A&M fair caught every kickoff.
Yeah.
Which is strategic. Hey, we're going to get the ball at the 25-yard line. We've got no risk of being in bad field position. 25 is a good start. I mean, it used to be a couple of years ago, you'd get at the 20-yard line. So they're fair catching it. Our guys, Diggs, Ruggs, trying to score.
Yeah, every time.
I mean, they're getting it 5-6 yard deep, trying to take it out.
Yeah.
I mean, their kicker at one point was their leading tackler.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But for me, it's just a mentality thing of what we're trying to do. We're just trying to go out and score and be aggressive and relentless. Yeah. And for them, it just kind of feels like they set the tone the wrong way of, hey, fair catching it. We're gonna have to go 75 yards to score.
Exactly. I mean, to prove your point, like they started all their drives on the 25 or less, the 16, 18, and 18 were their other drive starters. For us, we started at the 27, the 43, the 38, the 40, the 45.
Yeah.
Texas A&M, 30, those after punts, but kickoffs, I mean, 40-yard lines and 38-yard lines.
But I think it translates to the punt game, too. Like, hey, we are moving the ball.
And the chains, yeah, totally. And that means points every single time.
No doubt. I mean, you get Waddle the ball, and I know he hadn't had as many touches as he wants to an offense, but, you know, 128 yards, punt returning yards is a lot of field position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I tell you one thing, I think returning punts has got to be one of the toughest things, just from a wind's blowing, guys are running at me, in judging, do I let it bounce? Do I go catch it? Do I let it roll? I don't want to go make a fumble. I got to get every. There's a lot of external factors going on. He makes such good. He's the guy smart.
Yeah, he makes great decisions. I mean, he's grown, I think, the most in his decision making from last year. I mean, I thought he made, you know, some good decisions last year. There were some times where he was a little bit of a freshman.
Right.
But this year, I mean, he's been supremely confident in every decision he makes back there. And not only once he makes the decision after he gets it in his hands, too. I mean, he knows when to cut back across the field, when to go backwards to gain yards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not making negative returns and negative plays trying to make the big play. He's been extremely solid, even though he's only got one receiving touchdown in the special teams game. I mean, he's been exactly that special for us, for sure.
And it's a mindset mentality. Let's go get him.
Yeah.
And I love that.
That's how we're going to be this week.
And then, you know, for the first time this season, 5 wides.
Ooh.
Mechie came in, who was the huge recruit. He was the 8-day MVP, but now you get our 5 really good guys on the field.
Yeah,
it's going to be very tough for defensive coordinators to try to find the matchups.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that was a toss sweep. The play to Jalen Waddle that we showed on the captain's cutup was a toss sweep. He's lined up at number 3. He runs a bubble route. Tua's throwing that ball 8 yards at the most. I mean, and as accurate as he is, that's just a toss sweep on the perimeter, and you got your supposedly best defender versus our best guy in space in Jalen Waddle. Good luck, man.
And then Mechie comes down. First play, I know he's played. This is his first, like, real action play. Throws a block that springs him for a touchdown.
Exactly. And watch him dance after that.
But the way the guys and all of our receivers are interchangeable, where that's not just an X or a Z. They're all playing different spots. So Judy could come in play number 3.
Right.
Now do you have a safety on him, or do you bring the corner in?
Like,
what do you do?
Exactly.
And now with the motion sweeps and the jet sweeps, and
I mean, you have to go to a unique package altogether. I mean, you can go to a dime package, but I mean, you're still going to have probably a typical linebacker out there at some point. We're going to find a way to exploit that in some type of way. Tua is so smart. He sees the matchups.
What if we put Slade back there and we have 6 wideouts in the game?
I know, right? You got a little hot sauce right there. That's, JP, that's draw it up.
That's kind of hard. That's kind of hard to change. Or, I mean, from your perspective, from a defensive perspective especially, how do you begin to adjust for that whenever you see guys being able to change and play in different positions? You see 5 wide, you see a guy playing X, who's usually playing X, he's playing Z, and just moving. Like, typically, you base that off percentage-wise.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're good. You're good.
But typically, like you said, I mean, you normally base it off percentage-wise, and normally guys are, and that's what makes our group so unique and so special. Normally, say, I'm just going to give you NFL references for terms because that's where I last played and that's what coming to my head right now.
I feel you. I remember the last thing I learned.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so just imagine Julio Jones. Right. Julio Jones is typically the X receiver.
Right.
He's big. He's strong. He's normally going to play X majority of the time.
Right.
If you go into 11 personnel or empty personnel and he's not at 1X on the ball, he's at 2 or 3 or somewhere like that. In the NFL at that point in time, he's out of position, so they've designed a play to get him the ball.
Right.
That's what you're thinking. I mean, your attendance go up directly because you're trying to find those special guys. Odell Beckham's at 3 or Odell Beckham's at 2. Like, you're finding those guys. He's in a different spot because they're doing something unique to get him the ball.
Right.
But with our guys, you can't tell that. I mean, like we just said, we got Smitty, we got Judy, we got Ruggs, we got Waddle, now we got Mechie. Ooh. And we can put them all at any spot that we need to put them at, and you can't determine that, hey, they're running this certain route concept because Judy's at three or Judy's at two. And times when you're watching games, and that's what made me the player I was. I mean, I was kind of fast, but I wasn't the fastest. But I would watch the film and I would dissect it so much that those tendencies where you would take a tight end and have him at two instead of putting him at three like he typically is, now I know that they're probably running some type of bubble screen with, right, with this three guy trying to work him against my backer because this tight end's out of position here. Yeah. You know, and you can't get those tendencies with us. And Sark, I mean, that's a great weapon to have, man. Yeah, that you don't tip your hand.
He's done a good job, too, of spreading them out.
Yeah.
Of changing it up. Like we said earlier, you know, we're pretty balanced right now moving into this Tennessee game. So it's going to be fun, man. Yeah. I can't wait. We got a nighttime kickoff, 8 o'clock coming up.
Get your LED lights.
LED man. Lights.
I'm excited about that. I don't know if you guys are, but I'm super excited about those LED lights.
I am too. I'm excited about everything. It's going to be a fun week.
Get your Instagram going.
I am.
Yeah.
Turn the lights on.
You on Instagram? So Rashad Johnson.
26.
On 26 is on Instagram.
Yes, sir.
Just Rashad Johnson on Twitter. What is your?
At HigherLearning61.
Okay. Yeah. Higher learning.
That. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty simple. I'm JP Wilson 14.
Yeah. I chose that route because I'm all about educating myself.
Good for you.
Yeah. You know, you guys have taught me a lot here today, to be honest with you. One thing I did learn for all the listeners, like, this is a fascinating place here for all y'all. You guys never been here? This is quite impressive. This studio that they have, I've heard a lot about ESPN studio. I don't know if they can touch this.
So we're here in Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Yeah.
In the north end zone. I didn't know about this either until we started this podcast.
Yeah, I didn't know about it until I did the show last year for the recruiting gig, but it's amazing.
It's unbelievable. We got a touchscreen board that we draw on every week, break down some plays. Coach Saban uses it also. This is where WVUA broadcasts.
Right.
So, you know, got a lot of students in here working, but man, this is pretty sweet. Luckily, they let us use it every week. Ethan helping us out, engineering, producing the show. Yeah. Chelsea is our team mom, getting everything done.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Thank you.
Executive producer as well, obviously. Just giving the
she's
ideas.
It. She's
creative
it.
Director.
That's she's everything.
Yeah.
We'll call her Slash.
Slash. Yeah. Oh, Slash. I like it. That's a new nickname.
Yeah, man. But seriously.
BJ, man, we appreciate you joining us.
Nah, man, I appreciate it.
This
I appreciate
was fun.
It.
This is like the 08 reunion. Four or
five
of
the locker room
seniors.
Again, huh?
I know. I said Rashad after the first one or two times. Like, man, this is fun. Like, just being over here, come and talk,
chop it up.
Can we call it we're gonna have our locker room segment.
The locker room segment.
Yeah, I like
it.
This whole thing's a locker room, basically.
I think so.
Yeah,
but we keep it clean. You know, this is a family friendly show.
It definitely is that.
Try to
all Alabama
I mean,
all the
I
time.
I guess we could go. We could. I mean, we could go real locker room, but
yeah. Mm. Can I call in next week or something like that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you work here. You can come up.
But I just want to call in and give myself an alias.
You can download the podcast on the Alabama Insiders channel.
I have that.
Good. Keep
I already
it.
Have
subscribe.
That. Yeah.
Subscribe.
Send us questions on Twitter.
Yeah.
We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Is it Captain's Corner on Twitter?
Yeah. Captain's Corner UA.
Okay.
Captain's Corner UA on Twitter and Captain's Corner UA on Instagram.
Okay.
We're very accessible.
Okay.
Yeah. You can find us anywhere.
That's lovely.
I mean, you want to just call in and what? Just ask a question or just like, what do you want to?
It's not a live show, so you can't, you know.
I mean, still, like, as a fan of you guys, I mean, I downloaded the podcast. I still like to. You know, being able to hear my voice.
Tell your friends. Retweet it.
I want to make an alias for myself.
Okay.
And then call in. Then for you guys.
So make you like a part of the show.
Yes.
Okay. Like what?
This ain't a call-in show.
We can't do it, though?
We'll do it for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Man.
Pitch us the idea and we'll get it
done. Listen, I am a customer here. I expect my needs to be met. Provide for me, please.
This is not Burger King.
I can't have it my way.
Sorry.
Also, you just running the show.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Again, now put me back in my office alignment spot. Go over there and do what you got to do.
You keep block the guy in front
you
of
keep you. Keep subscribing.
Oh, so see, you guys are demeaning to us office alignment. No, listen, we get no love. Just block him. Is that all we do?
Just the guy in front of you.
Let me make sure everyone knows. Right?
I'm just joking.
We are the most athletic. The smartest individual.
I totally disagree.
Everything I do, I have to do it backwards.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Defensive backs.
Oh, everything I do, I have to do backwards.
I have to do it backwards.
What do you
with
do?
With a heavier backwards. Weight.
What? You go forward on one block.
On sometimes.
You even know where you're going.
Yes, I do.
Like they tell you go right, go left.
That's not
around
the case.
Right. I'm reacting.
John Parker's give these long paragraphs in a huddle.
I mean, he has to be really smart. That's, yeah. But as far as athletic, that's
athletic,
about
no,
it.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Smart.
Yeah,
I understand
so that,
smart.
That cuts that one out.
Right.
So, all right. So, let's stick to you and I, all right? So, you, what do you have? You go backwards?
Everything that I do.
I go backwards.
And I
pass blocking. Do we not
that's
go
that's only
backwards?
One thing you do backwards.
We do a lot. How many times do we? Now we're starting to be balanced in the offense. So, we pass the ball majority of time in the pass, right? Do you not come downhill on run play?
But you know your pass protection.
Do you not come downhill?
No, I'm reacting to everything.
So, you could just wreak havoc and then be successful on defense.
That is not a
saying.
Win.
So, you don't
no,
have to be
not.
Smart been playing
you
defense.
Have to be
all right,
very
so that
smart.
Here
we go.
Y'all are like a damn married couple.
I know, right?
Yeah, I ain't going to win. I tell you what.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to the DBs.
Oh, why?
Yes.
Because he's here with you every
Boom.
Week.
Because they know, because they can't even touch the guys, so they get a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah.
DBs, I think, without question, is the most athletic person on the field.
Have you ever tried to have a 300-pounder run against you?
I'll give it to you. You were the most athletic guy on the team, though.
You were.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Who was?
Have you not seen the dancing bear, Andre Smith?
Ooh.
Yeah.
He's still playing, isn't he?
Yeah,
he is.
Good for him. That's
the dancing bear.
Yeah, that's what they called him.
I didn't know that.
Started as a true freshman back before true freshman really started.
Started, yeah. The dancing bear.
Yeah.
Like
happy
that.
For
we'll have to get Andre. Andre's next.
Yeah.
Andre, you're coming on next week.
Yeah.
After we're gonna get Andre on here, recap this win against Tennessee.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
You know what? I would like to see you guys put a poll up there somewhere, somehow, on your Instagram or Twitter. Put a poll out there and let's see people say, which position is the most athletic?
Okay.
You really and, want to you, do that?
We're going
to
do that today.
But you have to put a liner out there to be able to say, provide a reason why. Don't just go out there and say, oh, the quarterback is. No, that one's cut out because we already did that one.
But, I mean, is how are we going to judge that? Is it yes or no? Or is it yes plus what they say behind the yes?
I mean,
like, that's going to take us forever to figure out.
I mean,
come on, BJ.
Somehow you
got a black and white.
Okay, I got an idea. You can make it like a championship type of thing. All right. So you got your offense versus defense. And then now, you know, you got the quarterback versus DBs. Then you got your offensive lineman versus defensive lineman. Then you bring it down to the championship trophy saying, this group, the offensive lineman, by the way, is the most athletic group that you've ever seen. And let me state my case. You guys don't want to hear my case because I'm a visitor.
We're going to cut your case out. We're going to cut it out, and we're going to put it with the thing when we put it out.
Okay.
And we'll do the same with my case as well.
Can I reiterate my case?
Yes. A closing argument.
Okay. So the closing argument is here.
I wanted to be a lawyer.
So as an offensive lineman, obviously you're – a bigger individual. You have to move backwards. You have to move forwards. You also have to remember the plays.
And limited space.
And what do you mean limited space? You've never seen offensive lineman pull on a corner?
Got to move backwards in limited space.
You have to move backwards to go forward.
What?
In order to go forward, you have to step back. You got other offensive linemen around
you,
so you have to go around them.
No.
Okay, can I finish my case?
Sorry.
You're doing a great job, Your Honor.
I object.
That's what I was supposed to say, right?
No.
You're making your case. He would make the objection.
I would, right. That's what I was supposed to say.
He's stepping in on my case.
So I was.
Okay, so here we are. We have to wrap it up. The creative director is telling us we have to wrap it up. All right, so we move backwards, forwards, and we have to remember all of the plays. Not only that, let's make sure this is clear. As the center sometimes have to call out the plays. This is offensive lineman. I said, okay, as a group, we are a family. I'm supposed to have all my brothers with me. We also have to call out the defense. Do we not?
True.
Okay.
I thought the quarterback does that.
Not all the time. Thank you. So we have to remember the plays. You have to remember what snap count it is. You also have some offensive linemen have the ball in their hands, so they snap it and remember what down they have to snap it on. You have to also be able to adjust the pull when you're pulling on little DBs who are pretty quick themselves, but obviously not as smart as the offensive lineman. So I pretty much have stated my case. You guys can be the jurors here and make sure you vote for the right ones. Okay. Thank you.
I like it. We'll put the poll up. I like that. That's a good, we'll have a poll question.
Okay.
Brought to you by BJ Stabler.
Yes.
And the U.S. Wellness Meats.
And the U.S. Wellness Meats. Promo code BAMA, 15% off.
Get your health on.
We'll be back next week. Hopefully 7-0.
Smokey Joe.
Followed by Arkansas Homecoming the next week. So we'll be back. Maybe
I think
we'll try to get Andre on talk about his Tennessee experience. So join us, Alabama Insiders Podcast. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
This has been the Captain's Corner. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.